Hi, I'm Becky Sims, and welcome to Behind the Future, the podcast from Aspiration Digital. We're here to unlock digital careers, one conversation at a time. On each episode, I'll be joined by a student co-host. We'll be interviewing amazing people from across the industry to learn about how they got started in their career and what it is that they do. Let's dive in to find out the secrets to their success. Two fabulous ladies there. Yeah. Weren't Jodie and Millie brilliant?
Yeah, it was really inspirational to hear.
Yeah? Okay, what inspired you so much?
Just the different routes. I've always thought university or hopping straight in. I didn't really think of an apprenticeship. And I think the fact that they kind of knew what they wanted to do as well, but it was still wasn't a straight line, was quite nice to hear.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I think, because Millie really knew what she wanted to do, but actually to hear Jodie's experience of doing apprenticeship with the police, and actually it kind of just shows that in anything you do, you're going to go and get skills that will be able to be transferred into other things if you don't want to stick with it. And I think that to me felt like a really good message as well. So I think our listeners are in for another treat, aren't they?
Definitely,
they've got some interesting things to hear. So let's let you zoom straight over into the episode with Millie and Jodie from Climbing Trees.
Hi, I'm Millie.
Hi, I'm Jodie.
And we're taking you behind the future.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Future, and we've got a corker for you today. I'm really excited to be joined by Jessica. Jessica, tell us a bit about yourself.
So I'm Jess, I'm 17, and I'm studying media business economics, and I'm looking for a career in the digital industry.
Amazing. Well, I'm very pleased to have you as my co-host today, and we have two fabulous guests today from the wonderful agency Climbing Trees. We've got Millie and Jodie. Tell us a bit about yourselves. Let's start with Millie.
Yeah, I'm Millie. I am a performance lead at Climbing Trees. So that means that I work on the digital campaign, so the strategy and the paid advertising.
Amazing. And Jodie?
I'm Jodie. My role is strategic director. I'm part of the senior leadership, so sort of support the day-to-day running of the agency, but also our clients' strategic approach to what they want to achieve. And usually that's growth in revenue.
Amazing. Fabulous.
What does your role look like? What do you do day-to-day?
So my day-to-day, I will have a set of clients I work with, and then also a team that I work with as well. So it's speaking to the clients and understanding what they want to achieve from their campaigns. It'll then be going into like Facebook and Google, and working out what's performing best to get closer to what the clients want. And then also working with the team as well to get things in place to improve like performance. So saying if Facebook's not performing that well, it'll be looking at different levers we can pull to improve that. And then it will be working with like longer term strategy as well. So looking at their audience and who they want to target. And then if there's anything else we can do outside of what we're doing already with maybe publishers, so like Vogue, for example, we might want to like run a campaign with Vogue. So might be speaking to them. So lots of like collaboration with the team and the clients, I'd probably say, is like a summary of my day to day.
Super interesting. Very nice. Jodie?
I suppose my day to day is a bit varied. I wear sort of quite a few hats. So some days I might be doing marketing for the agency, which would be like making sure we have good content on the website, making sure that the team is producing social media posts and things like that. Maybe organising some events for Climbing Trees that we want to invite clients to or others. Some days I'll be doing some new business. So I might be speaking to new prospects, or I might be speaking to the guy. We have a guy that sort of phones up the people that we want to work with. So I might be talking to him about the services that we offer, and trying to build that into our sort of proposal when we do speak to clients. Or I'll be sort of dealing with our actual clients at the moment rather than new ones. And a lot of the work that I do is around producing like presentations and things like that, where I will analyze a lot of data. I'll spot some gaps. So it might be they're not utilizing all the paid advertising on Google that they could be, and there's some opportunity to maybe spend more or make cost efficiencies. And so there'll be a lot of things that I talk to clients out about around that and see what they sort of think about that. And yeah.
Very varied, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of different things going on there. What's your favourite thing for both of you about your jobs?
Yeah, I think it's always changing. So like last year, we were probably thinking everything's really quite purpose-driven. A lot of our clients want to do lots of sustainability stuff. And then this year, it's literally been AI all the way. Mm. And so there's so much innovation in the industry and you get to learn so much that, yeah, that's what keeps me going.
Mm. Love yeah. that. I'd agree with Jodie. But then also I think more like from a technical, like nerdy perspective as well, like when you spot something in a campaign that you make like a recommendation to change, so saying if you want to test something new and it goes well and the client's happy, I feel like that's like a really like nice feeling. I feel like that's probably my favourite part.
Yeah. Is it very rewarding?
Yeah, it can be. Like moments like that, if you've got like an idea and like you can really like find like a nice bit of like data or something to support your idea. So saying like, for example, if you think like people who use Pinterest are like plan the future, so you want to like maybe if you run like a wills campaign, so trying to get people to add you to the will, if you're like running for a charity, and then it performs well, then that's definitely like a rewarding feeling. And then also feel like working in a team is quite rewarding as well, like when you work with other people like in a nice way and you get like relationships at work, I think it's always like rewarding as well.
Yeah, you get like that that progression over your career where you start as a junior and then you know more than the next junior a year later and you can help them. And it's just so rewarding to go, oh, actually something I learned last year, I can help teach somebody else. And you literally just keep going in that cycle.
Yeah, it's really nice. I love that. I love watching that happen as well. Like we often in the summer, we'll have interns come in and then we'll often end up hiring at least one of our interns, and then watching them the year later with our next intake of interns, I just love, like, you see the penny drop for themselves as well. Sometimes that's the first moment where they really realize, oh, I actually know a lot. Like this time last year, I knew none of this, and now I'm the one doing the teaching, which is just brilliant. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. How did you both get into this career? Was it a well planned out thing that you were like, I've got to be into marketing, I want to work in paid media, or was it just something that happened?
Yeah, I felt like randomly for me it was like I had my sister's like 6 years older than me, and her friend worked at a media agency and she did the apprenticeship, and I like from quite a young age thought her job sounded so cool because she'd go out and get like her nails done with media owners and stuff. And I felt like I was like quite like creative at school, so really randomly I did want to do like specifically her apprenticeship, so I had that in mind. And then luckily they did like another round when it came to my time to leave school of an apprenticeship, so I went for that. But I did have it in mind, so throughout school, like when I was in sixth form, I like tailored like my photography project, like my media project, with that in mind, knowing that I wanted to go into media and advertising. So yeah, my main route in was through the apprenticeship that I did. So that was like doing rotations on different teams. So I did a bit of radio, a bit of print, a bit of digital, and like the digital was just the part that I enjoyed best. So then I got a career after my apprenticeship in the same agency to do that full time.
Amazing, amazing. And how did an apprenticeship work? Because some of, I guess, our audience might not have looked into that yet. So you were working whilst also learning?
Yeah, yeah. So it was a whole year. And I think I did like a day a month at college. So it was partly like, it was some assignments I had to do. But that wasn't probably like the main part. The main part would be like the day to day in the office every day in London, working on, I worked on Sky and Now TV. So going around the different teams, and I actually did have like a job. It wasn't just like shadowing people. It was actually being involved and like helping set up campaigns, like helping think of ideas, and like learning from people around me, which I thought was like definitely really like useful, especially like how big the agency that I worked at was. There was like loads of opportunities and different teams to learn from.
Amazing. That sounds so interesting.
For all the latest marketing and brand news, follow The Drum Mag on Instagram.
And Jodie, you also did an apprenticeship, is that
I
right?
I did an apprenticeship, yeah, but I didn't really know what I was going to do. I was a bit of a reprobate at school. And yeah, so I sort of left school, and at the time I just went to college because that's what everybody else was doing. And then I was also working at Burger King. And then I ended up quitting college because I didn't really like the structure of like being academic at college. And then my mum sort of said to me, you're going to have to get your act together. And so I found an apprenticeship while I was at Burger King, and it was at Essex Police, and it was a business admin apprenticeship, and I got to work in the witness care section of Essex Police, where basically we're just sort of phoning up witnesses to crimes and trying to get them to go to court. And so I learned loads there and did the apprenticeship at the same time. But yeah, it's basically like a full-time job with some coursework on the side. And then after that apprenticeship, I didn't want to continue there. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought maybe I could talk to people. So I thought maybe I could be an estate agent or something like that. And one of my friends said to me, actually, you've got quite a good personality for a agency. And then I ended up just contacting lots of local agencies after that apprenticeship. But I think that apprenticeship really gave me the ability to go to work and know what the right things to do were.
Yeah.
Because you don't really sometimes get that when you're at school or you don't have like some work experience to fall back on.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think doing an apprenticeship was really good because it taught me how to navigate the workplace.
Yeah. And also, I guess you must have learned how to have tricky conversations, because I guess asking people to go to court when they've witnessed a crime that they might not want to do, like that's quite probably a tricky conversation in some instances.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that kind of gave me a good way to talk to clients. So it's much easier to clients. talk to clients. Or like sometimes you would have to phone up the police officer on their like little radio and say, oh, you're due in court tomorrow at this time. And I felt it was quite intimidating talking to a police officer.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I feel like it set me up well for the ad industry in terms of just knowing how to communicate.
Definitely.
How easy was it to find the apprenticeship? Was it difficult to get into?
My one was quite difficult, yeah. Because the agency that I went to was quite a big one. So I think it was like a very weird interview process. It was like 100 people, and then you had to do like a big online interview. Then you had to do a phone call interview. And then when you went in person, you had to like, I can't remember what it was now. You had to do like a 5-minute speech about something you're passionate about, a maths and English test. You had to do a marketing plan, like as a team of other people. It was like quite like just a top line one, like coming up with ideas. And then there was another part as well. And then at lunchtime, they told like 50 people that had to go home, and 50 people stayed, and then you had to do speed interviews. But I think like the main part of that day of like people who were successful were just like people who were like themselves and like not trying to, you know, like really overly impress. Or I don't think like the actual interview process itself wasn't difficult if people were just like themselves and like really honest and like actually had a desire to like work for that company specifically, I think was the main thing. But I just kept an eye out on the government website for apprenticeships as well to like see that pop up. So I feel like that's maybe like putting people off.
No, but then also it's good, I think, for people to hear what kind of process they might need to go into, because then you start to think, oh, okay, well, how could I practice that? Or how could I at school, could we do some speed interviews or that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because I think it's really hard if you've never been in that situation before. But actually, if you're like, oh, I kind of know what to expect, it sounds a bit like The Apprentice almost.
Yeah.
Like, you're fired, get out, half of you. But it's a good experience. And I imagine even those that didn't get through probably took something away from that day as a learning and as an experience to take to their next opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would have imagined so. There was like lots of experience within it. Like when you was doing the marketing plan, like hearing other people's ideas and like seeing how other people came across and stuff was like inspiring too, I would say. And I think, yeah, like the main thing that probably got me through the interview too was just like having something like specific to talk about. So like really doing my research on the company beforehand, like different advertising campaigns that I'd seen that I'd liked, and like like tailoring my work at sixth form to media, and like trying to get experience in like any kind of small way possible.
Yeah, that's really good. That really shows your passion, doesn't it? What was yours like to get as an apprenticeship?
And so I did mine through the government website, like Millie just said. And then, so I didn't really, I don't think I went for an, it was many, many moons ago now, but I don't think I went for an interview at the police station. I went to like a sort of adult learning place that was run by the council and did a bit of an interview there. I didn't get the right grades for maths, so they put me on a separate course that actually, as part of my apprenticeship, I got my maths GCSE, which was quite handy. And yeah, and then I think they just put me in that placement after going to the interview as part of that adult learning.
Amazing. And obviously you said that someone pointed out to you that you might be good for an agency. I guess some of our audience might not really know what an agency is. So tell us a bit about Climbing Trees and what you guys do as an agency. Obviously there's lots of other agencies, but there's special things about Climbing Trees. So yeah, I'd love to know more.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I actually, what I was talking about where I was contacting local agencies, I started my career at Climbing Trees and then went off to London and then I'm now back at Climbing Trees. So it's quite probably apt to talk about, but I think so essentially the process would be that a brand like Disney, they need support with marketing, like specialist support, because sometimes people that work at brands, they're more generalists, and so there's agencies that sort of specialize in different aspects of advertising. So Climbing Tree specialize more from the search side of things. So on Google, when you search for something, you get a paid ad and then also the organic ads, like a little bit further down the page. And that's what the business is built on, essentially, was our ability to be able to do that really well. And so brands will come to us and then we will run campaigns for them. And that's kind of where the agency word comes from. And yeah, and so I think at Climbing Trees, we really focus on working with brands that have purpose, so not doing bad in the world. So we work with clients like Greenpeace to make sure that their message is out there. We're talking to lots of different brands that are having really good impact in terms of like sustainability side of things. And then we're also a B Corp on top of that.
Being a B Corp is a big thing and takes a lot of investment, doesn't it? But it really shows your commitment to the planet and to people and to purpose, really, which is fabulous. So very nice.
Are there any specific skills and qualities that you think you need for a career in this?
I would say, I can't remember what we, because we was doing this the other day when we was planning.
Yeah. I think like definitely communication is like the top one. A lot of like resilience and like curiosity. Mm. Like you definitely want to be curious about things, because the way that the ad industry is, it is always changing. So if you've not got that curiosity about it or that like sort of fire and passion, you might get bored in that sense, or you might not be on top of what the latest trends are. And that type of thing. I think a lot of adaptability. So we speak to a lot of different clients with a lot of different needs. And so to be adaptable to different personalities or different business needs is quite important. Mm.
Yeah, I think probably like self-driven as well. It depends like what route you want to go down. But I'd say like a lot of it, if you want to like progress, obviously like within a role once you join, like making sure that like you're keen to go like above and beyond like your day-to-day, like researching and keeping up to date on like market trends. I think just like actually like enjoying your job or like being keen, I guess. And like driven, like probably helped me.
Has it lived up to your expectations? Because obviously you were one of the rare ones, because actually a lot of people fall into our industry, but actually because you had that person that you kind of looked up to and were like, I want to be like she is, did it live up to what you expected?
I think like I've worked at a few different agencies and like they're all very different. I do really enjoy my career and like my job, like I do really enjoy it. I think my apprenticeship definitely did, like that was like a really fun like year, and I like, got to like have lots of different experiences, And then every agency I go to is like different to that first year experience. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely think it has. Yeah, no, I do really enjoy it.
Good. Well, it's important, isn't it? You spend most of your life at work, so you've got to enjoy what you're doing, enjoy the impact that you can have for clients. And I think that shone through in what you said earlier of feeling like you're making a difference for clients and actually delivering results. Is because a lot of what we do is very measurable, isn't it, in this kind of world.
Yeah.
There'll be other people that we have on the podcast where, I don't know, maybe they're creative and sometimes it's harder to measure impact, but actually your jobs are both very measurable, aren't they?
Yeah.
How do you find that? How do you find the data side of it and the kind of the being on show from a results perspective?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I feel like probably there is like an added pressure with like that it being sort of black and white in terms of if things are performing well. And like if something isn't performing well, I feel like it's still like I still find it really interesting because we'll go in like the back end of the data and like still find a way to like see the impact that our results have had, or maybe like a different platform or like more like their like own website itself. We can see that when we spend their website direct traffic increased. So I still find that part like really interesting, even if it's not doing as well. But there definitely is like an added layer of pressure. But like I think we do perform well, so yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. You don't normally see the
other side of it. Marketing works, I think, is important to say, isn't it? A lot of marketing, we're testing new things out, and sometimes it doesn't work. So actually, part of going back to your communication point is having been open with the client to talk about what are we testing here, what good might look like, what bad might look like, and what are we going to do about it, and that kind of problem solving ability.
Yeah, I actually think when campaigns aren't performing as well, it's probably more interesting to work on them. Because like you say, you get to speak to the client, you get to test new things, and then you get to like see like the back end of how everything is performing their side. Like when things are performing well, conversations are like quicker, and they're like not as engaging, but obviously it means you've done your job well. But I still find it interesting both ways.
Yeah, like we had a scenario for one of our clients where they'd shut down one of their stores. And the data was getting really bad from our side. Obviously, the stores has got nothing to do with what we're doing from a digital side of things, but sales were down. And it turned out that that was actually driving a lack of awareness of that particular brand. And actually, it was affecting all channels, not just the digital. So it wasn't like that we'd done something wrong from a PPC side of things, like a Google Ads search side of things. It was actually what was going on wider with that business, and actually it being measurable, we were able to tell that story. If it wasn't measurable, we'd just been like, yeah, well, things are rubbish.
Yeah, we spent your money.
Yeah,
but we don't know what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's I do like the measurability of it, but I think it's interesting you used the word pressure earlier. But I think it's you try and alleviate the pressure by having those open conversations and being able to talk about the fact that these things don't always work. And like, obviously, we're all going into it hoping it works, but these are the measures we've got. These are our levers we've got to pull. We can try new creatives. We can try new ideas. But it's that. It's that working together, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's a massive part of our job too, is like that relationship with the clients. So like aside from actually being in the campaigns, it's like making sure that we've got a good relationship with the client. So if it's like a weekly call or a monthly call, and having like a level of understanding with them, of them trusting us to keep their campaigns ticking over and performing well, but then also when they aren't performing as well, they've got that trust in us that we will do what we can to improve that, and that what we're suggesting has like data behind it, I guess.
Yeah
I think early on in your career you forget you want to be a people pleaser. You want to say yes, we're doing great, but actually when you're specialized in something and you have that experience, it's actually you're like an easier job to say, actually, we've never done this before. It could go one of two ways, but we're going to keep you updated with how it is going and manage their expectations. And I think so it's really easy to fall into that trap where you just say yes, 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 because you think that's the right thing early in your career. But actually, it always works out better to manage expectations. Mm.
Definitely. My favourite phrase. I think that's going to come up on a lot of podcasts because it is my favourite phrase.
Have there been any really challenging moments that you thought, I don't ever want to do this anymore?
I was a proper Disney kid growing up, loved Disney, like literally all the, I'm going to show my age, but the VHS is just always on replay and rewind. And when I worked at a big network agency in London, I was lucky enough to be part of a team that pitched for Disney. We won Disney. I got to help launch Disney Plus. It was awesome. But actually, it turned out that once we'd won that, I was doing work that I'd been doing for years and years and years, and I wasn't learning anything new. And so it was a big challenge for me to go, oh, I feel like I've made it in my career. I'm working on this really epic brand, but I'm not actually learning anything. And like, the challenge for me was like, to take that step and go, actually, I'm going to go and go to a different company and see how I do from that side of things and take a step out of my comfort zone. And I think that was a big challenge for me, but it really paid off.
Wow, that must have been, especially feeling like you'd hit the pinnacle of like Disney.
Yeah.
Like most people listening to this probably would go, oh, I'd love the opportunity to work on Disney, even if they're not a massive fan. It's like such an iconic brand that everybody worldwide knows. So yeah, that must have been a really big moment, but a good moment to pay off actually in making a change, and a good moment to reflect on yourself and what you're getting from work, because it isn't just about what you deliver to a company, is it? It's how is this serving me and is it working for me in my career and where I want to be?
Exactly. I think it's important to always think about where you want to be and don't stagnate.
Yeah, I love that. Millie, have you got any kind of challenging moments?
Yeah, I think mine was probably once I'd finished my apprenticeship and then I became an exec for a year or maybe two, I then got promoted to plan a buyer, which is like that step in between like junior and manager. And I was moved from like a very performance heavy team. So what we're talking about in terms of like looking at the data and bits like that to more of an awareness team. And it was very different, like my experience of like my manager, the team around me. And I actually found like my relationship with my manager at that time quite difficult. And I felt like maybe it was like a pressure on me and maybe it wasn't like me performing as well as I could have been doing. I just found it really difficult, like the change. So I decided to leave that job and go to a different agency. And I felt like maybe where my last manager had been really tough on me, it threw me in the deep end, and like actually I spun it in like a way of like improved my confidence. So when I went to my next place, I was then just like managing and kind of like almost stepped up to a slightly manager level, and was managing all my campaigns by myself. And I felt like that was like quite a good way that challenge in terms of the dealing with that relationship and dealing with actually probably not enjoying my job very much during that time, to then spun into me, like probably that was one of my favorite agencies that I've worked at in terms of my progression in my career, because it made me step up and like improve my confidence. So yeah, there was definitely a point where I wasn't sure if I wanted to work in like that. I don't know if it was media, but it was definitely that element of media at the time.
I love that, because I think, do you know what, it can happen at school as well. If you get the wrong teacher, suddenly a subject that you love can become a subject you don't enjoy anymore, because for whatever reason, their style, their way of working. And it's the same in the workplace, that actually, if you're not in the right team with the right leadership around you, you can feel lost. And actually, I've seen it before where we've moved people around internally and changed their managers. And obviously, all of our managers live to the same values as the company, but people still have their own styles. And actually, what one person can get out of somebody can be so different to what another person can get out of somebody. And actually realizing that that's a thing, and thinking about the people side. And when you go for interviews, I guess trying to understand who would be my line manager and what are their styles are really good questions to ask to see if that's going to be a good fit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, it's I often say that I my worst manager is still probably one of the most influential people that's helped me grow. And at the time, you couldn't have said that to me. I'd have been like, no, this person's terrible. But actually, they really helped me grow, because I learned how to navigate them and what I needed to do, and actually that I needed to change and needed a change of manager. But actually, I needed that person to be like they were for me to have learnt that.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree, actually, looking back. And like you say, at the time, I was like so upset I did it. And now looking back, I actually think like there was probably a massive moving point in terms of like pushing me in my career and thinking like, I can't just like do the same thing that I was doing, and like change is inevitable at work, and like helped me grow my confidence.
Are Duolingo, Nike and McDonald's some of your favourite brands? For all the latest marketing and brand news, follow The Drum Mag on Instagram.
Do you have any other advice for students?
So thinking about, yeah, getting into their career, what can they do now?
So at the moment, I would probably, like, this probably more comes from now me interviewing like students or grads as opposed to my experience, because I didn't do this. But I think something that I look for is people who are going out of their way of what they're doing at the moment. So even if it's just like, we had someone interview the other day and they'd been running a vintage shop. So just like looking at the performance of how their vintage items are selling, I found really interesting. And then also reaching out to local brands, like even if they're really small brands, like even if it's like a local, like, I don't know, like beautician or something like that, and asking them if you could just support with some of their paid ads in the meantime, or just shadow them, just trying to get experience from wherever possible, just for something to talk about and to show that you're keen when you're interviewing, I would say.
Love that. Really good advice.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And that, I think, get on YouTube. Get on YouTube, start searching about the things that you like. Mm. There's so many people that are just there talking about what they do day to day that you'll just pick up so much. I think it's a good way to learn. And places like Google, they have lots of like content that you can read. And then also there's exams at the end after that content. If you want to have a go and do those in your own time, I think that would be really good. And if that was on someone's CV that came in through the door, I'd think, yeah, that's someone that's really passionate and wants to get into this.
I feel like he's Marmite, but I really do like Stephen Bartlett and the Diary of a CEO podcast. I think you see so many different people come through there that are business owners, entrepreneurs, or sometimes people working in large companies. But some of the stories that get told on there are really good for helping you learn and grow and learn about what business can be about. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a good one.
I just thought of one. It's the High Performance Podcast.
Okay.
And so that's really interesting. And they have... it's like a mixture between sports and like people that run businesses.
Interesting.
And they sort of tie in that high performance element, because sometimes I think like high performance in sports bleeds into people that are successful in business as well. And they show those same traits of like resilience. It's a really good one.
Yeah, and sweating the small things, I think, when it comes to like high performance. We've had Olympic athletes come in before to talk about what it's like to go to the Olympics and to compete at that level. And it's all around details, the finer details. It's the processes they go through and the rigor that they have to have in their training is literally down to the minutes and the seconds and the weight of the food they eat and the weight that they weigh in at, etc., etc. And it's just, that is where high performance comes from, is focusing on the detail and thinking, how can I just be that little bit better? How can I get that little bit stronger? What does more look like? I feel like you had some thoughts on...
they're not necessarily media, but I think two girls that I follow on like TikTok and Instagram is Grace Beverly and Amy Smale. They both have got like fashion brands that they've started up from scratch, and they're really transparent on their Instagram about businesses, like how business is going, like things that they look at. And then they do also talk about their advertising and what they've done like in terms of investment in advertising and how they've seen the returns. And I think they're just like quite good role models.
Very nice. They're good ones to go check out. We'll link them in the show notes as well for anyone else. It's been a really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
What if you could go back, if you could move around the table now and you're in Jessica's position, what would you want to know? What's the thing that would have helped spur your career on and maybe helped you make decisions that maybe you didn't know at the time but you know now?
I think, and maybe this just comes with time, but it's the confidence element. Like, you always feel like you owe someone something if they give you a job or whatever it is, but actually, like, just believing in yourself that it was, you're actually driving your career and you should feel confident about that, whether it's your first day or your fifth year. I think it only all really clicked for me when I started believing in myself. And so I think never feel like you owe someone something where you can't sort of like be yourself in a situation.
I love that.
That's what I tell myself.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, when you go to interviews, it's a two-way process. As much as it feels like the power sits more with the employer because they're the one that's got the job to hand over, it's your choice too to work out, is this somewhere I want to work? Are these values that I agree with? Do I like the thought of what they're offering as a package, as a way of working? Are they going to help me grow? And the same when you're in that probationary period, when you start a job, you'll be in a period where you can end it on either side. Obviously, that can happen at any time, but it's a kind of shorter window at that point. And that's your time as well to work out, am I enjoying this job? Do I like it? Is this where I want to spend time? Am I getting what I need to be able to be the best version of myself right now? And I think when you remember that and reframe it, suddenly it kind of takes the pressure off a little bit because you're like, well, this is my interview as well. I'm going to ask them some really good questions. And actually, I don't think people prep enough on questions. I read so much into someone based on what they ask me. If I say to someone, have you got any questions? And they don't have any questions, that to me means they really lack curiosity. So you've got an opportunity, you can ask me anything. What do you want to ask me? And if they've got nothing, so I think that preparation phase is really important. Any other thoughts?
I definitely agree with Jodie on being confident in yourself, and like, obviously once you've got the job, like, you've got the job for a reason, and not to like question yourself too much and show like initiative and like bring your ideas to the table as well. Like, don't be scared to like just fit into a job. Like, make sure you are like putting yourself out there if you've got ideas or questions, to make sure that you ask them. And then I think like what you said in terms of like the interview process, but then also that probationary process and like your first year in your career, making sure that you know what you want out of your career and how your manager can support you with that. So just being like really transparent with where you want to get to and making sure that you are using your manager for what they're there for. So whether that's, you know, asking them for more training, asking for them for more opportunities, just using the people around you and making sure you get as much out of everyone as possible.
Nice. And soaking up feedback. I think people get scared of feedback because we like good feedback, but negative feedback, we're always like, oh, I don't. But it's a chance to learn. And it's an opinion. You don't have to take it. It doesn't have to be gospel. But if someone's seen something that they feel like they want to share with you, then actually just saying thank you and that I'm going to go and have a think about that and see what I might do with it is a great response. So, yeah.
I also think I wish every time I did something good and achieved something, I just wrote it down in a little note. Because when you get to those big points where you talk at your probation or you want that pay rise or that promotion, it's really good just to have a list of things. I have achieved all of these things, and what else could I be doing to get to my next steps beyond this? Because by the time that comes around, you forget.
Yeah,
the day to day gets in the way and you're just like, oh, you don't even remember what you did last week. So it's really good just to note it down.
That's such a good point. I'd say to our team, like, keep a little folder, a value bank, and screenshot things. Like, if you get a nice email from someone saying you did a great job, results were amazing, get a screenshot of that in the value bank. Or as you say, if it's something more that you want to note down, stick it in there as well, because you forget, don't you? Time moves quickly, and what feels like could have been months ago is actually only 2 weeks ago, but it's gone. You'd slipped away and you're on to the next thing. So this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. And it's so lovely to dive into your careers and to what you do and how you've got here. And I'm sure that all of the students and young people listening have got a lot from it. So just thank you so much for joining us and for sharing so openly. And thank you so much to my fabulous co-host.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We will make sure we put your social profiles in the show notes so people can come and connect and follow and ask you any questions. But thank you so much.
That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.